Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's good to be with everyone today. Trust you're doing well on the 28th day of December 2017. It's 9:01 Central Standard Time, and there is really, genuinely a lot to talk about. Before we get into the Word of God and some news that's taking place that's very important, I want to ask you a question. And I'm going to ask this question. Hopefully, I'll remember to do this about three times today. But I want to ask you a very sober question right up top today, right here at the very beginning of the broadcast. And the question I have for you, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, is what do you believe the most important thing in all the world is? Now, I want you to really contemplate what I'm asking you. Because we're not just limiting things, you know, to earth or, you know, any other thing. What is it to you personally, honestly, at the very core of your existence, what is the most important thing in the world, in life, in existence, in the universe? What is the most important thing for you? And it's something you have to really look at because there are so many different levels of consciousness. There are, you know, the very surface things, and then we go a little bit deeper and deeper and deeper into our conscience, into our truth, into our existence. And I'm asking a very sobering question this morning because I believe the Holy Spirit wants it asked. What is the most important thing in all the world to you? Well, I believe my answer to that question, you may have a different answer, and I'm giving you just a moment to really think about that. What is the most important thing in all the world to you? And really contemplate it. Really think about it before just answering off, you know, off the hip or just quick, you know, burst out of your mind. Or maybe you already know it because you've asked yourself, and it would be that quick. It's very simple. Here's what I believe. The most important thing in all the world is for every person on this planet. And it's in Luke chapter 10, and I begin in verse 19, Luke 10, 19. Jesus talking said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." All right, so do you think that the most important thing in the whole world is to receive this power to tread on serpents and scorpions? And do you think the most important thing in the whole world is that nothing shall by any means hurt you? So you have protection. Are those the most important things, power and protection? Well, I don't know. I don't think so. However, verse 20 seems to be the answer. notwithstanding. Okay, so Jesus says, now, yes, you're going to have power, you're going to have protection unparalleled, but nevertheless, notwithstanding, in this, rejoice not. Don't rejoice in that. That the spirits of the devils are subject unto you, because that's what they were referring to in context here. The devils were subject to them. But Jesus said, rejoice, rather, because your names are written in heaven. Your names are written in heaven. All right. How important is that to you, to know that your names are written in heaven? I was thinking about the Book of Life this morning. We live in a volatile world. We live in an unsure world, whether big things are going on or not. People are exiting the planet all the time, are they not? I mean, you could go down to any hospital in your local community today, and there's probably someone ready to pass on to the other side. You could, you know, just pick up the paper and see that people are dying everywhere. The human race is just, we're coming and going. And so it's a very transient world that we live in. There's nothing on this earth that remains forever. When we die, we'll take nothing with us. The life is very clear. Scriptures are even more clear that we came into this world with nothing, and we're leaving with nothing. And what, as far as the world's goods are concerned, but yet we have learned that when we leave this planet, that our eternal soul will go somewhere. And the destination of the creation seems to be clearly spelled out in Scripture. And I would believe that for those of us that have faith in God, that we don't, you know, we don't even need the book called the Bible to believe in God. You know, I believed in God before I ever read the Bible. And it's so clear that you could look out at the world in which we live and know that there's somebody that created this. But all you have to do is take a look. So I believe, and hopefully I can convince you to believe today, that the most important thing in the world is not our treasures, if we have any. It is not our families, if we have one. It is not our career or reputation or name. You know, some of these things may be connected to the ultimate importance. But it does appear that in this life, the most important thing that Jesus said, you could have power, you can have protection, but don't rejoice in that, but rather rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Now, what does it mean to have our names written in heaven? And if having our names written in heaven is the most important thing in the world, well, we should look at it. Now, I like what Philippians 4:3 says, and I just want to read a few verses here on something called the Book of Life, okay? So Philippians chapter 4, verse 3 says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me," this is Philippians 4:3, "in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the Book of Life." Their names are in the Book of Life. Their names are written in heaven. Now, Revelation 13:8 says, "All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the Book of Life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." So when you get to the Great Tribulation, the whole world will worship the beast, whoever's name is not written in the Book of Life of the Lamb. So we have this Book of Life. Then we move to Revelation 17:8, and Revelation 17:8 says, "The beast that you saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they shall dwell on the earth. They that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the Book of Life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So there are people in Revelation 17 that are going to wonder at the beast, but their names are not written in the book of life. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, very familiar passage. And it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Revelation 20, 15. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Whosoever. Now here in Revelation 20, it's about the great white throne known as the Bema Seat, the great day of accountability for all human beings that have ever existed on the face of the earth. God knows all the birds in the air. Not one bird falls to the ground anywhere in the world that he does not know of. You know, God is awesome. There's not one life that has perished from this earth that is not going to come and give an account or stand before the great white throne of judgment. Okay? Especially, we're talking about the unredeemed, the unregenerate world, the great general Bema Seat. I don't believe that a truly born-again Christian man or woman is going to have to stand before the Bema Seat. In fact, I believe that the overcomers are going to be seated upon thrones, and they're part of the ones opening the books because they're government of God. They've already been judged, and their judgment was taken away through their faith in Jesus Christ. And yet, even as believers, we are all going to give an account to the Lord for the things we have done in our body here on earth. So, but I, you know, whatever, there is this judgment seat where everybody in the created universe will stand, that is unredeemed and unregenerate, particularly. And if their name is not found in the book of life, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Verse 27 of Revelation 21 goes on to say, "And there shall in no wise enter in anything that defiles, neither makes or whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." So only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life will have access into the celestial city, the new Jerusalem. And then finally, Revelation 22:19. Says, "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." All right, well, this is the first time that we encounter somebody who had their name in the book where it says that God himself, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Now, if you go to Revelation, I reserve this for the end on purpose. Revelation 3:5 says, "He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." So here we have, again, the book of life, and to the overcomer, Jesus promises that he will not blot out his name out of the book of life. And we ask ourselves, well, what is the meaning of blot out? Well, that Greek word, exhalepho, literally means to smear out, to obliterate, erase, wipe away. And so Jesus is saying, if you're in the church of Sardis in Revelation 3:5, and you get overwhelmed by the world around you, by the things that the church was being challenged by, well, I will obliterate your name. I will smear out your name out of the book of life. You know, that is a very powerful thought, and very few people really honestly pay attention to this. You know, we have this idea about once saved, always saved. My name's in the book of life. But yet there are conditions wherein names could be written out of the book of life, even in the book of Exodus, going all the way back to the Old Testament, where God was ready to blot out names out of the book of life, and Moses was interceding. God was saying, no, I'm going to remove their names out of the book of life. I'm going to wipe their names out. I mean, it's very powerful condition. Now, why do I bring that up? I bring up the book of life because when you and I die, if we are to die, now I do believe there's a generation that will be alive and remaining, okay? There are going to be people living on this earth when Jesus Christ descends from heaven. So it may be, let's just say that today Jesus Christ is coming back. I mean, in about 1 hour, the celestial skies are going to split and Jesus is going to return. And a lot of people's theology is going to get messed up saying, oh, I thought we had a few more years or whatever. But the fact is he's coming when nobody will expect it. And that's why we're supposed to be living in a manner that he could come any day. That is wisdom to live that way. And that's the fear of the Lord. And that is also affectionate desire of the bride of Christ. The church of Jesus Christ should have an affectionate desire. That's why it says three times in the book of Revelation, come quickly, Lord Jesus. For the Spirit and the bride say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And so there should be an affectionate desire in the lives of God's people, in the heart. Not in the external religious part of our being, you know, well, Jesus is returning and we're supposed to. No, a genuine affection. Now, you cannot have a genuine affection for Jesus Christ to return if your heart is not connected to his heart. If there's not a witness in your spirit, if there's not a born again where the Holy Spirit and your spirit have been fused together. Because only then can God impart his heart desire and affection to us. And only there can our true heart affection for him go back. There's got to be relationship. There's got to be connection. And if that is not in you, don't worry about it. Just give your life to Jesus today and ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit so you can experience God's love for you. So you can experience God's divine desire and affection for your life. It does exist. It is impossible to be bound together in the Spirit and not experience what the other person's heart is. It's impossible. And especially when it comes to the Holy Spirit that is influencing and imparting to us all the time God's love, God's will, God's heart, God's mind. God wants to share himself with us in the Spirit. And only our born-again experience, only our born-again spirit can have intimacy with the Father at that level. Our soul cannot do it. Our soul is yet broken, it's unclean, it's disordered, it's disorganized, it's confused, because there's been so much damage to our soul, so God has to work to get our soul cleaned up. But we can have relationship with the Spirit of God in our born-again, awakened spirit. So again, I'm going to ask the question, what is the most important thing in your life? The most important thing in your life is to know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that your name is written in heaven. Why? Because without that, there's nothing. Remember, whoever does not have their name written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Whatever television has taught you about your eternal soul is going to go into the universe in the eons of time, and you're going to float around on a spirit somewhere, hitchhiking through the mountains, hitchhiking through the universe, it's not true. Every soul has been created by God, and therefore God has revealed his will that every soul will give an account to him. And God said that every soul whose name is not in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, I don't know about you. I don't like that idea. I don't want my soul to go into the lake of fire. I can't even begin to imagine the torment, the suffering, the endless torment. And I mean endless. There have been times in my life where I've suffered deeply for one reason or another in excruciating torment, fear. And thank God it didn't last that long because there was always some intervention. But this eternal loss here is that torment multiplied 1,000 times and no intervention to stop it. This is called eternal torment, eternal damnation, eternal. And 5 minutes is too long in my opinion. And we cannot even begin to fathom the ravages of hell, the demonic smells and the sulfur and the torment and the hate and the violence and the vicious insanity and craziness that exists in this place called the Lake of Fire. I mean, just thinking about it could cause someone to begin to experience some inward discomfort. But this is not a make-believe place. And I think sometimes in the world which we live in, where the arrogant blasphemers you know, are mocking God so terribly that some people in the church have taken it on themselves to think, well, you know, if the world is mocking God, maybe, you know, it's not so bad. I'm telling you, the most important thing in your life, in my life, scripturally speaking, is to know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and to rejoice in that and to count that so important that it is most valuable to protect that reality by making sure that you're not doing anything that would cause God to obliterate your name or mine out of the Book of Life. Live in such a manner that we embrace, that we protect, that we hold on to and value precious jewel of eternal life. Why do I say that today? Why is this in my heart today? What is it? You know, why is this so important? Well, I want to look at a few things here. And number one, there's an alarming story out of South Korea that confirms experts' worst fears and shows how war could bring America to a standstill in days. They found that a North Korean soldier who defected was immune to anthrax. With the eyes of the entire world on the Korean Peninsula, with recent warnings from the DOD head James Mattis, the storm clouds are gathering there. We'd be wise to take a step back and take a quick look at a key event in the history of the region that many are now warning could lead to the next global catastrophe and a devastating apocalypse. Following the 1950 to 1953 Korean War, which led to the deaths of thousands of Koreans due to outbreaks of cholera, typhus, typhoid, and smallpox, deaths which the Korean regime blamed upon the United States, North Korea began to develop one of the most deadly biological weapons program in the world in the 1960s. As The Independent reported back on October 23rd, in addition to its nuclear program, North Korea is likely now mass producing biological weapons such as smallpox, the plague, and anthrax. And if this new story from Sky News is any indication, their anthrax program is likely well beyond what might have been previously thought. As they report, a North Korean soldier who recently defected from North Korea was immune to anthrax, a disease that can kill in less than 24 hours. Anthrax antibodies were found in his blood, raising fears the regime could use the disease as a weapon. And as we see, the latest development helps show how a war with Korea could bring America to a standstill in days. So with this report, I did a little further research. I went to Wikipedia, take a look at anthrax. And here's what anthrax is. It is an infection caused by the bacterium Bacillus anthracis. It can occur in four forms: skin, lungs, intestinal, and injection. So symptoms begin between 1 day and 2 months after the infection is contracted. The skin form presents with a small blister with surrounding swelling that often turns into a painless ulcer with a black center. The inhalation form presents with fever, chest pain, and shortness of breath. The intestinal form presents with diarrhea, which may contain blood, abdominal pains, and nausea and vomiting. The injection form presents with fever and an abscess at the site of drug injection. So anthrax is spread by contact with spores of the bacteria, which are often from infectious animal products. Contact is by breathing, eating, or through an area of broken skin. It does not typically spread directly between people. Risk factors include people who work with animals or animal products, postal workers, and military personnel. Diagnosis can be confirmed based on finding antibodies or the toxin in the blood or by culture of a sample from the infected site. The anthrax vaccination is recommended for people who are at high risk. Immunizing animals against anthrax is recommended in areas where previous infections have occurred. 2 months of antibiotics such as doxycycline or ciprofloxacin after exposure can also prevent infection. If infection occurs, treatment is with antibiotics and possibly antitoxin. The type and number of antibiotics used depends on the type of infection. Antitoxin is recommended for those with widespread infection. Now, we were just told that this thing could kill people within 24 hours. So an outbreak of anthrax is not something that the population would really want. Now, I got the advantage here of looking at pictures of what skin anthrax lesions look like. There's a tremendous amount of information on this whole thing of anthrax, but there is another article I wanted to look at, which was titled in Wikipedia, that weapon of mass destruction. Now, what they call weapons of mass destruction is a nuclear, radiological, chemical, biological, or other weapon that can kill and bring significant harm to a large number of humans or cause great damage to human-made structures, i.e. buildings, natural structures, even mountains, or the biosphere. The scope and usage of the term has evolved and been disputed, often signifying more politically than technically. Originally coined in reference to aerial bombing with chemical explosives since World War II, it has come to refer to large-scale weaponry of other technologies such as chemical, biological, radiological, or nuclear. All right, so we've all heard the term chemical, biological warfare, weapons of mass destruction. We have heard of anthrax. We have heard of other diseases that can be employed in this kind of war. Well, we live in a day where right now, let's go to one of our favorite Psalms. Everybody has read Psalm 91. If you haven't, I'd love to read it with you for just a moment because it covers a lot of this in our conversation. So Psalm 91, let's just do a Holy Spirit praise break right now because here's a promise. It says in Psalm 91, verse 1, he that dwells, listen to the word of God. We're talking about rejoicing that your name is written in the book of life. Your name is written in heaven. Right now, verse 1 of Psalm 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Now, I'm asking you as I'm reading this to repeat these words with me one more time, and I want you to say it. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he'll deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. The noisome pestilence. Now, what I want to do, I want to look at that, and I want to look at some of the definition here on noisome pestilence. What does that actually mean? Well, the actual phrase for noisome pestilence in the Greek, the word noisome is hava, and it means a ruin, calamity, mischief, naughty, perverse. Okay, so in the scripture, we're told what again? That he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the bad or the naughty or the calamitous or the mischievous, or the perverse, or the wicked, what? Pestilence. The word pestilence is davir. And that is interesting because that means it is a plague. They even call it cattle disease. Cattle disease. And it comes from a deeper root, davar, davar. And that word there is a root that talks about the thing that subdues, the thing that subdues. And so he says that he's going to deliver us from what? The snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. In verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Now, again, this goes back to Luke about there's no power that will harm you. Jesus was literally telling the disciples, you're getting power over the devil, over all the works, and nothing by any means will harm you. So he's talking about protection, and here it is. But these aren't the most important things, because if the plague slips through and you die, the most important thing is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the answer is yes, right? So here we go again. Verse 4, he shall cover you with his feathers. Under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. Now listen, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. So you're not going to be afraid of these things. Terror? What's the word terror? It's pakad. It means dread, alarm, dreadful. Okay? So you will not be afraid of the thing that causes sudden alarm. You will not be afraid. You will not fear. You will not go into that condition. You will not be afraid. You will not be touched by the arrow that flies by day. And that word arrow is kates. And it literally means a piercer, a wound, a thunderbolt, the shaft of a spear, an archer, a dart. Sounds like war when the arrows begin to fly. But poetically, it also means of evils and calamities and inflicted on men. So calamities afflicted on it, you're not going to be afraid of it. You're not going to be afraid of it. Nor for the destruction. Well, let's go back to verse 6 again. Nor for the pestilence, there's that same word that we used earlier, that walks in the darkness, nor for the destruction. And that word destruction is ketev, and it simply means something that destroys or something that cuts off, or a storm causing destruction. Okay, these are things that the psalmist was made aware about. He's relaying them to you and I. You and I will not be afraid of these things. And in verse 7 of Psalm 91, 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Those are the exact words that Jesus was saying. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Now, the word plague is negah, and that word means infliction or a blow, a leprous person, someone that's stricken with sores or stripes or wounds. Okay, so it's not going to come nigh your dwelling. No plague will come nigh your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Now, we know the devil used this on Jesus, but I want you to know that it's whosoever dwells in the secret place of the Most High, right, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But this is exactly what Jesus said. And yet we ask the question, well, if this is true, why do Christians die? Why do Christians get afflicted? Why are they killed? Again, these promises are precious, and you could stand in the promises of God, but in the event that something slips through, most important thing is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because you and I both know that not only have Christians been burned at the stake, they have been tortured. They have been afflicted. They have been the means of sport in the lion's dens of Rome. They have been persecuted. They have been sawed in half. Their heads have been chopped off. And even in our generation, lots of bad things happen to people that believe in the Lord. That's why these promises are precious. We hold on to them. We walk in them. We rejoice in them. But we don't rejoice in them more in the rejoicing of our names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So weapons of mass destruction, nuclear warheads or ICBMs that are loaded with anthrax, the idea of somebody going to the tallest buildings in cities and pouring out bags of anthrax into the air, all of these things are very real. And there are people on the planet right now that have the means of actually releasing these weapons of mass destruction. Russia has the means. China has the means. America has the means. Iran has the means. The Middle East has the means. Israel has the means. Pakistan has the means. We can go on down the list of all the different nations that not only have weapons of mass destruction in the realm of nuclear weapons or bombs, but we also have in the scientific laboratories throughout the earth, in every country around the world, the scientists that are creating all kinds of different anthrax kind of devices, biological or chemical means of hurting people. And whether it is AIDS, whether it is HIV, no matter what it is, these things do exist. They do exist. And nobody to this day knows where AIDS came from. They all think it came from a green monkey in Africa. It didn't come from a green monkey in Africa. AIDS was an epidemic that killed millions of people. The bubonic plague, the black plague, someone said the other day, killed 50 million people. And so these types of devices that are created, they're man-made. And then, of course, pestilence and the thing that comes in the airwaves. Dr. Jeffrey Goodman wrote in his book that just one cometary impact would release such dust into the atmosphere if the Earth were to get struck by comets or asteroids, that the release of all the stuff in the dust would create such sickness and disease in people's bodies. I mean, just a dust storm. So we're vulnerable. You have to admit it. And yet we stand in the promises of God, and it makes us less vulnerable. But we need to be convinced about this issue, that the most important thing in your life, in my life, is to be under a blood covenant, knowing that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have different news reports, you know, everywhere right now from ISIS bombings just killed 41 people. We have a supermarket bombing in St. Petersburg, Russia. This is now a terrorist act. The world is on edge. The world is on edge, and it may appear that it's controlled chaos right now, but there is something that can trigger, and chaos would be uncontrolled, and it would move so quickly and so swiftly. And this is the thing that you and I have to be aware of in the last days, that life will not always be the same as it is today. And yet today, there are many people, there's enough people in the world suffering today. Well, I've talked about this. I poured my heart out. It's 9:38 in the morning. I want to open the telephone lines. If anybody's out there would like to join me in the conversation, maybe you can, enlighten us a little bit more, or maybe you have a question or comment. The number to call, 818-369-0326. Let me give that number one more time, 818-369-0326. And we'll take our first call coming in from Pastor Ken Wagner today. Good morning, Pastor Ken. How are you, sir?
Well, good morning, sir. Pondering your thoughts this morning. And you know, it's really interesting. It's interesting that you came up with that, because for the past hour and a half on here, one thought kept coming to me. What is the truth? Now, that's... it's in addition to what you're saying, what's the most important thing, obviously, is to have my name written into the Book of Life. But it's interesting that I was thinking about that this morning, and I was reading over here in John 18. Jesus was saying this is why I was born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. And then Pilate said to him in verse 38, what is the truth? Now, that's an interesting corollary to what you were just talking about this morning. You know, knowing the truth is one thing. It's also what you do with the truth is the second component. And I've been mulling about that all morning as well. So it's interesting that the Holy Spirit seems to be working on all of us in a different way, trying to bring about the very truth, the truth of the Bible, the truth of what Jesus has said, and what we are doing with it. We can ponder those thoughts for hours and talk back and forth on that as well. But it's just interesting that God is bringing those components up to us this morning.
Yeah, you know, they're very sobering, Pastor Ken. It's very sobering to know that we live in a world where these threats do exist. And I just got a text from a friend that was in military. His name is Bob, and I've asked him to call into the program. I hope he does, because he said that they trained with that anthrax, and it's really bad stuff. And then going back to this article this morning, it says this, that also warning within their story that Kim's regime was testing bioweapons with the end game of being able to load anthrax onto ICBM missiles to use against their enemies, as also heard in the first part of this letter here. So here we have, and here's what they did. I thought this was interesting. They were doing a test. The U.S. was aware of the tests, which were being carried out to determine whether the anthrax bacteria could survive the high temperatures on reentry from space. And then, you know, this goes on again, but we do have different people in the world that are controlling right now excessive power. They are controlling excessive power, whether they are nuclear weapons, hydrogen bombs, atomic bombs, you know, biological dirty bombs. These types of things do exist in the world. And when you read the book of Revelation, Pastor Ken, you see the death toll in these wars. I mean, 1.5 billion people are taken out in one particular war. In the fourth horse, you see a quarter of the earth destroyed by war and famine and disease. You know, this is not some far-fetched, you know, super thriller. And the closer we get to the second coming of Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, these are sobering thoughts indeed.
Yes, they are. And it really makes you begin to think and ponder and wonder, you know, and, you know, we could, there's so many what ifs in the world. You know, we can sit there and entertain those thoughts all day long. But I choose not to, because I don't know what is really going to happen. So when it does happen, then I have to respond accordingly. But the only way that I can handle the things that you're talking about is to be able to know that the truth, that the Lord is my Savior. He is my right hand. He is going to do everything that is necessary for me. But I need to be prepared to go ahead and face these dilemmas when they come, but knowing that the Lord will be with me and walking with me all the way. So I'm looking in it from that perspective, because looking and wondering if we're going to be bombed with anthrax or nuked or anything of that nature, I could go crazy thinking about that all day long. That's not going to help me. The only thing that's going to help me is knowing that Jesus is with me, walking with me, and He is the way, the truth, and the life.
So in other words, these ideas, which are present in the Word of God, God does not want us to bury our heads in the sand and be in denial. We both know that. But these messages that are biblical, that are lining up with what the world is doing, the potential in the world to bring this kind of mass destruction, fulfilling the Word of God, it should drive us into the secret place. And it should create within us a deep, intense desire to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, as the scriptures
Amen.
Say. In other words, a very close walk with the Lord, not touching anything that would create an environment of causing us to be swept away by a flood. You know, I was told years and years and years ago by the Holy Spirit to warn the congregation, and I gave them somewhat of a visual of a mighty flood. A mighty flood, a powerful flood, and that they should not even go near the edge of that flood and just dip their toe in it, because if they just dip their toe in that, the power of that flood would embrace them and swallow them up and sweep them away in a moment. You don't play, you know, with this idea of doing anything that would be offensive to the Lord, let alone doing things that are offensive to the Lord. And so, you know, again, the lines are open, 818-369-0326, number to call, 818-369-0326. And all you need to do is press 1 on the dial pad. Now, Pastor Ken brings up a great point. You know, who wants to think about these things? Who wants to live in the, you know, the idea that these things could happen today? You know, what kind of an environment would that bring? Well, balance. Balance is the key to everything. You and I should go over and over again the promises of God. We have many precious promises that are given unto us. And by these precious promises, we become partakers of the divine nature according to the word of God. So we have these precious promises. We should dwell on them and think on things above, not on things of the earth, even though we are aware and warned by God and the world of the things that do exist. It just produces, Pastor Ken, in my understanding, a greater caution. And the Bible does advocate that we should live cautiously, that we should redeem the time because the days are evil. We should not be unwise and walking around frivolously, just kind of going about our own whim and will, that we should be praying about everything and you know, being led within the context of what God has allowed us to live in. He's broadened our feet beneath us, our path beneath us. So there is a place for caution, but not fear. Speak into that.
Oh, no, you're 100% right. You know, knowing that these things are out there that you talked about on here should have one purpose, and that's to drive us closer and closer to our Lord Jesus Christ and not live in the fear of what can happen. But I guess the thing that Jesus also brought up in one of the other scriptures on there was that the thing that you should fear the most is loss of heaven on here and not being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the greatest concern that we should have. But if we're drawing closer and closer to the Lord each day and understanding and doing what he has asked us to go ahead and do and fulfill our goal and that he has designed us to be on this earth, then that's the best, I believe, that we can go ahead and do and not be concerned so much about the earthly things, but rather the concerns of what God has ordained for us to go ahead and do. That's the most important thing.
Well, amen. You know, in under these circumstances, you know, we live in a darkened world. We live in a world that's filled with potential destruction. Getting out of your bed this morning and going outside to the store could appear to some people to be an extreme risk. You know, hey, there's danger out there. Do I want to get out of my bed this morning? Do I want to get outside and get into my vehicle and travel to the store where there's people? It's risky. Well, if a person lives within the confines of that thinking, that would not be good in this world. It's a risk. I was talking to some friends about it last night. It's all very risky. But you got to get up. You have to get out of bed. You have to put on your armor. And you have to go out into that big, bad world. And you have to shine your light before men. And you have to do it fearlessly. And you have to move forward in life without fear, knowing that anything could happen to anybody at any time. So don't live on this earth with the few moments that we have left in fear. Take the risk. Get out of bed today. Get out of your house today. Go out in the area that you live because obviously you believe that God brought you there. You live where you believe God wants you to be. So go out and live an abundant life. The Lord would be so displeased with his people if they just lived in fear and we're afraid to go out and live life. That is not the advocation here. The advocation here is that the world is lining up with the word. But God promises a supernatural protection. But even then, if that protection is gotten through, if you were to physically die, you would still, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, wake up into a place that's better than this. And so a fearless pursuit, a fearless journey through every day is what God does advocate. Because how could we be light? How could we be a blessing? How could we share hope and faith and love with the world around us if we're too afraid to move out? Perfect love casts out all fear. Do we live in a vulnerable world? Yep, we do. Anything could happen to anybody at any time, any day, anywhere. But so what? That's not our problem. What we should be doing is living cautiously as Christians. Because let me tell you that the most damaging thing that the devil really wants to get from you and I, he wants us to do something to cause our names to be obliterated out of the book of life. Now, the Bible says if you live in fear, you're going to be going into the lake of fire. Revelation 21 tells us all about it. But the fearful, the whoremongers, will have their part in the lake of fire, all liars. We know these things. Got a call coming in. Let's take it from South Dakota. Say good morning to Ken and Kathy Bruns. How are you today?
Fine, Vincent. Yeah, we're doing good. It's cold, but praise the Lord, we're doing okay. I have something that happened to me 27 years ago. I was with Dimitri Duderman, and we were just in conversation in our home, and he says to me, "Sister, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life." It was I thought, wow, where'd that come from, you know? And I said, well, praise the Lord. And now when you're talking about that this morning, I'm thinking, my Lord, what a wonderful thing to know by the Spirit of God. So God must have revealed something like that. He revealed it to him. And he spoke it to me. And I mean, I'm lifting up Jesus Christ. I'm not lifting up no man or anything like that. But it was such a comfort to know that. Then I know the Bible says you can get your name blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. But I am really thinking about this very seriously right now. What a wonderful thing to know that. And I believe that, like, even all the people that feel, you know, that they're not sure of their salvation, I believe that if they would just, God will give them that confirmation in the Spirit. Because as I've walked with the Lord these years, and that I love the Lord Jesus, you know, and I know I've done things that have not been right, but God is so merciful. He, once your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you can know that if anything happens, you'll spend eternity.
Amen. And Kathy, you know what's so awesome about that, what you're sharing, is when we go back to Luke, where I actually began the study today, in Luke chapter 10, where the Lord says, you know, do not rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rather rejoice in that your names are written in heaven. That word rejoice, and this is what I want to leave the broadcast with today, to all of the people that are out there thinking it's, you know, dark, gloomy, whatever. Listen, Jesus said, rather rejoice. And the word that he used was kyrio or kairo. And that Greek word kairo, listen to this, get ready. You're ready to start your day off right. Here you go. It means to be cheerful, calmly happy, or well off. Come on. God is saying, Jesus is saying, today, if you know that your name is written in heaven, if you know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you must become cheerful. In other words, full of cheer. And you must be calmly happy or well off. Calmly happy, well off, cheerful. Pastor Ken, Kathy, is that not the way we should be living our lives?
Yeah. You know what? I believe that because, you know, people are, you're attracted to people that have a joyful spirit and are cheerful. When you're just amongst total strangers, you can kind of sense it with people.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Ken, final thought. We got to get ready to run here, sir.
Jesus lived and he died for what he believed on this earth. And the last thing he said to us on here was, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we can't be bundled up in our homes, sitting back and trying to play safe in everything that we say and do. We need to do what the scriptures said and go forth and do what he's asked us to do.
Amen. And you know, it gets back down to is let there be light. And that Hebrew word for light, the first time it's used in the Bible in the book of Genesis chapter 1, is let there be brightness. Let there be happiness. Let there be cheer. Let there be illumination. Let there be clarity. I love that word. And Jesus has given you and I permission to be calmly happy and, I love that, calmly happy, and to be cheerful, cheerful. I wish you that today, my dear brothers and sisters, regardless of what you're going through in your life, may the cheerful spirit of God quicken you and may you be resurrected with the bright light of heaven as you begin to consider that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why? Because you believe, because you have faith. And in a time where the world is going into a woe and a lamentation and great darkness, you can brightly shine as lights in the world like never, ever, ever before. Someone shout hallelujah and pass the ammunition and praise the Lord, as Brother George would say. I've got to go because up next is Patricia Joy Xavier. She's going to take this to another level today. I'm going to go to a little break. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. You're listening to The Watchman here on the Omega Radio Network. We're broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You could tune in all day long to The Watchman right here. We'll be right back. God bless everybody.
Hi, this is Pastor Vincent Xavier. Paul and I want to personally thank you for tuning in and listening to The Watchman. We depend on you to help spread the word and support our radio ministry. There are 4 ways you could get involved right away. Number 1, pray. Nothing moves mountains like the prayerful support of the saints. Second, help spread the word. Share the URL, omegaradio.org, with your friends on Facebook and through your email. Tell them you're listening like your life depends on it, and they should too. Third, you can partner with us. If this program ministers to you, then click the Donate tab and prayerfully consider a donation to help us expand this program and build our radio studio. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly pledge, every dollar will be used to better equip you, the saints. Just go to our Donate tab on the homepage. We thank you in advance and may God richly bless you.
Do you enjoy listening to The Watchman? It's our goal on each and every show to interpret the latest news and events through a biblical lens, but we're not alone. In fact, we have an army of like-minded radio hosts, ministers, and prophets to better equip you, God's people, to learn and take action when and where it's needed. Click the lineup tab on our homepage to see a full listing of daily programs. Whether it's Rick Wiles on True News or Jay Sekulow with the ACLJ, we work together to bring you Omega Radio Network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anywhere in the world. Please join our effort to help spread the word and support this radio ministry. Send us an email and tell us what's on your mind and how this network is ministering to you. Then call into The Watchman weekdays 2 to 4 p.m. Central Time and join the conversation. We want to know what you think. The number to call is 818-369-0326, then hit 1, or go back to omegaradio.org and hit the call-in button, then press 1.
Hello. Hello, 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 and God bless you. Oh, wonderful things were being discussed again on the radio program with Pastor Vincent Xavier. It was a very soul-searching time because of what is coming upon the earth. And we know that it is doing exactly what the prophetic utterances in the book of Revelation say it's going to do. And so why would we be afraid? Well, I want you to know that in Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, I talk a lot about fear. Why? Because it's the spirit. The word is clear. He did not give us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. And we have to be reminded of all the promises we have been given. You see, God gives us whereby exceeding great and precious promises. And by these, we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption. Now, you know, there's much corruption going on, much darkness going on. But these promises cause us, if we believe in them, to be partakers of the divine nature. Listen, do you understand what that means? Partakers of the divine nature? Who has a divine nature? The Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit. We become partakers of that divine nature, their divine nature. We begin to partake in it. And having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And what do we see in the world? Darkness filled with lust. Lust of every kind imaginable. And the enemy of our soul has taken many with him. And we're seeing more and more darkness. That's why I wrote the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And today we will be discussing and reading from my book. And we will be in chapter 2 because we are moving, but slowly, from chapter 1 to chapter 2. And if you would purchase my book on Amazon, you can follow through with me as we discuss the depths of each and everything mentioned, so you have a very wonderful grip on what deliverance is all about. And so we have been given not only promises, but diligence to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And you know what that knowledge does? It saves us. He says, my people perish from a lack of it. He said, my people perish from a lack of it. And what does he do with the knowledge we have been granted? He brings us temperance, self-control. And temperance brings us patience. Oh, body of Christ, you need it today. You go to the mall, you drive down the street, anything can happen. You need to be patient with every move and every thought. And to patience, godliness. You see, in that we begin to possess our soul. And in the possession of our soul, the godliness comes within our life. And we become greater and greater victors for what God has already promised. His promises and his word. And his word is endowed with incredible promises. And we need to praise God for that, because he has given us this as his gift to help us to become in his image. And that's where we're going. If we would grab hold of the truth. See, if you find yourself in a position where you are trying to live the way Jesus instructed and demonstrated, but you are bound and you find it impossible to succeed, it is because of a lack of knowledge. Yes, yes. As long as the believer walks in the natural and remains in self-inflicted bondage, he or she will be no match I was going to say be a match, but he or she will be no match for the cunning of Satan. He's very cunning, and we need to understand this. And if we begin to understand the word as it is written, not as doctrinal concepts and ideas from various different studies, then we see the truth by the Holy Spirit of what the Word of God is really beginning to show us and instruct us in. And we become clear in our thinking, our conscience becomes clear. And it is such a marvelous way to match what is going on in this world, but the match is a match that Satan has never dreamed possible. But for the unredeemed and those who do not understand the Word of God, he will be very cunning. To us, he will be no match. You see how that works? Do you see that we have been empowered in that manner? This is why the devil does not want this message to go out to the Christian body at large and be put into practice. He doesn't want that. You see, Ephesians 6:10 says, "Last of all, I want to remind you that your strength must come from the Lord's mighty power within you." What is that power? What is that power within us? The Holy Spirit. Isn't it amazing that it reads not our own power, but his power in us? And when the all-consuming power of Jesus is in you, I guarantee that no power of Satan can long endure, no matter how he comes, whether he comes through plagues, war, whether he comes in a manner of danger in your own life. It doesn't matter, because the power of Jesus Christ is greater. We have to begin to understand who we are in Christ. We have to understand the authority we have been granted. But we do have to put on the whole armor of God. We discussed these things yesterday, and we're going to continue to discuss the things that the devil is capable of doing that we have to outsmart. We are truly in a war. We are in a war like no other time. This is the darkest and the deepest this world will ever know. According to the Word of God, it has never been like this, even from the beginning of time, from the beginning of the world. It will never be as dark as it, or it had never been as dark and will never be as dark again as it's going to be. So are we up to it? Are we up to it, or are we going to fly away? Well, let's talk about those things, because we need to know that this is a supernatural work through the authority of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to get the victory. And if we just fly away, oh glory, we're not going to get the victory over our souls, mind, and body. We're not going to be made into his image as much as if we go through victorious. And in Matthew 24, in all of the scriptures written in the New Testament having to do with the coming of the Lord, he says it is after his coming that he will bring his bride together. And he's not going to come a second time, third time, fourth. He is coming after all these things take place on the face of the earth. It is never mentioned prior to that. Read Matthew 24. Read Luke 21. Read the scriptures in Mark 13. You're not going to see a rapture until he comes at the end of tribulation. So how are we to be? Now, many have been taught differently. And so we need to look. And they use scripture that isn't speaking of the last days, as it is in Matthew 24 by the Lord himself, in Mark 13, and in Luke 21. So please begin to study on your own and ask for the Holy Spirit to help you, because these doctrinal differences are making it severely dangerous for the church. It's weakening the church, and it's meant to do that. And Satan loves it, doesn't he? One of the first things Jesus did instruct us to do in his name was to cast out devils. One of the very first. Have we even learned how to do that? In the church you attend, have you learned? Have you been taught according to the word of God? Some have. I hope it's been you too. But if not, I wrote this book for that reason. The key is to be fully knowledgeable. Again and again, I will say, my people perish from a lack of knowledge. This is his word. It isn't the world that's going to perish. They're already under judgment. It is his people that will perish from a lack of knowledge. So fully aware of our authority as believers is what we have to be. And as adopted sons of God through Jesus Christ, that adoption is wonderful. And you know why it's wonderful? He chose us. It didn't just happen through some natural birth. He chose us. He adopted us as his sons through Jesus Christ. Isn't that incredible? John 14, 13 and 14 says, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." For that reason, that the Father would be glorified in the Son. That's why whatever we ask in his name, he will do. What shall we be asking? We should be asking that we would walk with a pure and holy heart, to be the overcomers he called us to be, to overcome the world, the flesh, and Satan himself. He has given us that ability through the Holy Spirit. He has enabled us in that manner. So what should we be asking? Lord, help me to be made whole, spirit, mind, and body. Help me to be that overcomer that you called us to be. Help me to be that bride without spot and wrinkle at your coming, so you can take me there with you to rule and to reign, to come back on this earth, to rule and to reign, and to be with you. Oh, what a promise. And it isn't going to be a religious kind of thing. It's going to be the greatest, most glorious experience any of us have ever had. And if you ask anything in my name, he said, I will do it. Yes, he's going to do it. And you know what? In the original Greek, in verse 14, it literally means, whatever you demand in my name. Oh my goodness, do we really have a right to that? Scriptures, learn. Have knowledge. Have understanding. And he said, I will see to it that it is backed up. He doesn't make promises without backing it up. Now we may, but he doesn't. Every promise our Lord Jesus Christ made, he will stand and back up. How about that for absolute authority that we have been granted? Would you like that? Well, he has given it to us. If you believe, if you will receive it, you see, we already have it. We just have to receive it. Jesus has promised this to us as children of God, but we must receive it and act upon it. Now, you can receive something but not act upon it. You could receive $1 million in your account, but you may not act upon it to get all of the benefits from it. You receive these glorious truths and these abilities from our Father as gifts. Act upon it. Start moving in that direction. Stand and say, it isn't by my power as I have read, but by his, and I can do it through him. And you can, and you will. We must stand, knowing that we have the power and the authority through his promise and his righteousness. Otherwise, he'd be a liar, right? It is his righteousness. We will be afflicted with moral and spiritual wounds if we don't, and never realize the victory was already won for us at Calvary. What a waste it would be if we don't take hold and receive what he has given us now. Please do it. Please take hold of his promises. Please take hold of the authority that you have been granted in his name. Please take hold of believing all your heart that he'll back up everything he has said if you will believe. It's imperative. It's imperative that we have it now. Not sometime in the future, but now. Now is the time in which we are going to be tested as never before. From the beginning of the foundations of this earth, according to scripture, you have been called for a time such as this, or you wouldn't be here at this time. Grab hold. Grab hold of what God has for you. If you are righteous because the blood of Christ has cleansed you and you believe it, and because you desire not to practice sin, you desire it with all your heart, you will find your authority in the name of Jesus come alive in you through faith. But you have to believe it. You have to have faith. My people perish because of lack of knowledge, but without faith, you cannot enter in. Is necessary. Faith is imperative in him. And you will supernaturally know that all the power of heaven is backing you up. All the power of heaven is backing you up. Now, it's been said in Mark 16:17, that Jesus wants us to be free from the works of the devil in our lives, then spread this good news to others so that you are empowered with the knowledge that I have been cleansed. I have been made pure. I have been made holy. I desire not to sin anymore. I know the authority I have been granted in the name of Jesus. I know that authority. I understand that authority, and that I have been made righteous because of the blood of Christ. He has cleansed me. And I really don't want to sin anymore. And he has empowered me not to. In Romans 6, he says that we must die to sin. We must overcome the sin nature. Consider ourselves dead to sin. Well, I'm not really dead to sin yet. Well, consider it then. Come on. Get bold in the Lord. Rise up as a mighty warrior of God with great intentions to see mighty things and desire to be part of his army. You see, we know in our heart of hearts that Satan is no match for our beloved Jesus. We have heard it. We've been taught it. But what happens? If we know that God gave Jesus a name at Calvary that is above every name, we must receive this truth through faith in what Jesus has already demonstrated to us in the scriptures. We know that his ways are infallible. And he said, what I do, you shall do also, even greater, because I go to the Father. I will remind you of this over and over again. He has sent his Spirit that we may do the same exploits he did when he walked the face of the earth. But we never feel that we can. We never feel worthy. Well, it is not in your worthiness. He has made you worthy by his blood. He will stand with you as an advocate. Come on. See your lawyer. See your advocate standing there right with you in front of the judge. And when Satan comes in as like as a judge against your life, your advocate is there. Your lawyer is there to speak on your behalf. And he will say, no, he's been purchased with my blood, cleansed by my blood. All we have to do is receive that truth, believe in that truth with all our heart, and not turn because of fear. Again, he did not give us fear. Fear is a spirit. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Say, kingdom of darkness, you listen. You listen to what I have to say. Say this, it is written that I have been translated out of your authority, and it is written that I am seated at the right hand of the Father, the seat of power of all creation. It is written that I am to rule and reign over you, devil. And here's how I am ruling and reigning over you right now. I plead the blood of Jesus between you and me. I plead the blood of Jesus over my spirit, over my soul, over my body. I plead the blood of Jesus over my children. I name them, each and every one. I name their mates, each and every one. I plead the blood of Jesus over my grandchildren. And if you don't have grandchildren, over your cousins, over your friends, over anyone that you care about. I plead the blood of Jesus over my three great-grandchildren, if you have them. Don't touch them. Don't touch my husband. Don't touch my wife. Don't touch my father. Don't touch my mother. Don't touch my friend, my dear friend. Don't touch my children. They're off limits to you. I am ruling and reigning over you. We could do it. We could know who we are in Christ Jesus. And we know that his ways are infallible. And we must remember that we are not fighting against people, which we always make that mistake. I'm fighting over so-and-so because so-and-so said this of me. So-and-so hurt my heart. So-and-so did this. We're not fighting against that flesh and blood, made of flesh and blood. But we're fighting against the demonic spirits operating within them against us. Spirit beings, spiritual entities without physical bodies. You can't see them unless you have discernment of spirit. And if you don't have discernment, ask the Lord to give it to you by the gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many churches don't teach this, but you do have granted unto you a baptism that is talked about in 1 Corinthians 12, the baptism, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit gifts to work in your life to help you to do this warfare. And one of them is discernment. And it is one of the greatest gifts you could receive. Ask for it. Say, Lord, baptize me with the gift of the Holy Spirit of discernment. And he will give it to you so you can discern these spiritual entities in the spiritual realm that exist. Then say that there is no power existing, no power in Satan. There is no power because I speak the truth. And Satan is not speaking the truth. And the truth is in powered. It's empowered by glory and the Holy Spirit of glory. Now, how about his power to deceive us? What do we do about that? Well, discernment will let us know. But to compare Satan's power with that of Jesus' power is, of course, like comparing night and day. Satan pales in comparison to our Lord. He can't even begin. You're going to say one day when you see him face to face, is this the worm, the little worm we have been so involved with all that time when we were on earth fighting those dark spirits? Is this what it was? It's so puny. Why? Because the Lord overcame him on the cross. But now we are executing the judgment in our lives against him. Be aware, though, be aware that in our natural strength, we are no match for the deceptive powers of Satan. That's why we need the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in our lives by the baptism, by receiving him first in our hearts as our Savior, Lord, King, Master first. And then as he comes in, asks for his baptism, and he will give it to you with the gifts to overcome the work of the enemy. However, as we move in the knowledge and strength of our Lord, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, Satan is then no match for us. Do you believe this? Do you believe what I am telling you? Please, if you do believe it, begin this work. Begin to understand the glory that has been set before you. Begin to desire it with all your heart. And if you have no desire, pray that you would. Say, Lord, I know I have been purposed for a time such as this. Lord, I know I am to receive your absolute glorious word within my heart and become transformed into your image. And I want it with all my heart. And I also want to walk the face of this earth empowered by your Holy Spirit, which you have promised. I don't want to be overcome by plagues. I don't want to be overcome by any troops that are foreign on our land. I don't want to be overcome by darkness of deception and fear. I don't want to be overcome by anything but by your Holy Spirit that empowers me, that loves me into a fruition of worldly greatness to be the overcomers and to be the light of the world. And they need that light so desperately, don't they? It was Jesus who defeated Satan at Calvary. Not Satan who defeated Christ. So we know who we serve. We know we serve a great and mighty God. Impossible for him to be defeated. And he lives within us. If you have questions regarding what you have heard, please email me at patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com. God bless you.
If you like what you hear, then you'll be happy to know there's much more from where that came from. Go to OmegaRadio.org and click the More tab to view our full broadcast lineup. Omega Radio is on the air around the world 24/7 with programs featuring Jay Sekulow and the ACLJ, Rick Wiles with True News, and Common Sense with Dave Hodges. Check out the complete lineup for showtimes. Then join us at 9 a.m. Central and again at 2, 7 at midnight for The Watchman. Everyday pastor Vincent Xavier unleashes the sword of the Spirit chapter by chapter, verse by verse, to better equip you, the saints. It's important during these last days to know what the Bible has to say so you're in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. Listening to The Watchman is a great place to start. Go to OmegaRadio.org and tune in 9 a.m. Central and again at 2, 7 and midnight. The Watchman on the Wall is looking out for you. Thank you for listening to The Watchman. We depend on you to help spread the word and support our radio ministry. If this program ministers to you, then pray about partnering with us. Just go to OmegaRadio.org and click the Donate tab. Your gift